Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Well, before I continue on in the sharing that I've been, the teaching I've been doing from the account of the Lord's dealing with Gideon, I feel just to take a moment to pray for needs. Father, Lord, I come to you and I lift every listener, Lord, those who are going through a battle right now. I ask that you would minister to them. Father, as we've been looking at this book in Judges, the fact of what Gideon went through and how Israel was oppressed and impoverished of the enemy. Lord, we are in serious warfare, and that's one thing we have to understand about the hour in which we're living. Lord, we acknowledge we're in warfare, but things are not what they seem. And Lord, we know that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. More are with us than he that is with the enemy's camp. So, Father, we thank you for victory. Father, I'm praying right now that whatever specific, particular needs your beloved has, whether it's spiritual or emotional, financial, circumstantial, dealing with loved ones, in the home, on the job, Father, I thank you. I take authority over the work of the enemy, and I release the anointing of God to destroy every single yoke. And Father, just as you gave supernatural victory to Gideon and the children of Israel, Lord, it was impossible for 300 men to vanquish an enemy host of 135,000 who were spread out like the sands of the sea, the scriptures say. That is impossible, except, Lord, you are a God of the impossible. As I begin this broadcast, Lord, we don't have any problems that a miracle from you can't solve. And we look to you, O God of miracles. And Lord, I call forth miracles in the lives of your people, those who need to hear from you, those that must have your intervention, those that require your provision. Father, I release the resources of heaven in their behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for it. And Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, make it alive and applicable and stimulating for our own lives. Let it stir up hope and faith and encouragement in our own hearts. Just as Gideon felt he was so inadequate and he was nothing in and of himself, yet you used him to give great glory to your name. So, Father, we ask you to do the same for us in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for it. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we've taken a lot of time to progress in these events that started with the calling of Gideon. In fact, at any point you miss a broadcast or you need to rehear one, then just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast. You can listen at any time. But what we've seen is God had called Gideon in a very difficult time in Israel's history. They were impoverished by the enemy host. He responds. He needs to be encouraged. He does fleeces, and God says, yep, I'm with you. And what we see now, there's a winnowing out of the camp of Israel. There were 32,000 that responded, and then those that were fearful were allowed to go back home. There were 10,000 that remained. God further diminished their numbers. He did a divine purging, and there were only 300 that responded in the way God wanted, that Gideon could say, okay, set them aside. I'm going to use them. He told Gideon to go down to the battle. He was still apparently a little bit fearful, but he heard a dream of two soldiers discussing. One shared the dream, the other gave the interpretation, and he was encouraged. And so in verses 16 through 22, there's the actual battle that is given, and we see that the enemy turns upon himself, and they're literally killing one another. There were symbols of victory. There was the trumpet in their right hand, which is their testimony, is the prophetic word. The clay pitcher they were holding with a firebrand with inside of it that would ignite once the pitcher was broken, with the, you know, as air reached that smoking firebrand, it would ignite into a torch. But that's a symbol of our clay cells, our clay vessels, to be broken on the altar of surrender before the Lord, the altar of consecration, so that the light of God can shine through. We are His light, a city set upon a hill which cannot be hid. And we have the flame, the anointing, the fire of God's Spirit within our hearts. They shouted unto the Lord, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. That's the high praises of God, as Psalm 149 declares, the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. God has given us a commission. The times are awful. If you look with a natural mind, you just want to, you know, crawl under the bed. But beloved, we are an army that God has called for such a time as this. We are a remnant. God has a remnant of people who are strong and very courageous. And these are those whom the Spirit of God is calling out right now. The Spirit of the Lord is calling you out through this broadcast to say, yes, I will fight. I will be ready. I will be there. Just as these valiant warriors of Gideon. Now, this enemy army was made up of various Bedouin tribesmen. Every man, his sword was against his fellow. Think of the entire original army was 135,000. Can you believe this? 120,000 were killed. They killed off among themselves. They wiped themselves out. And what we see then happen, Gideon was joined by the tribes of Naphtali, Asher, all of Manasseh, and Ephraim, and God totally confounded the enemy. Praise God. What we see is they were definitely warriors of faith. Remember, God gave them a choice, and 10,000 remained. You know, we're focusing on the 300. They were men of a special courage, but 9,700 of them, they had faith. They stayed. They were just told to return to their tents and to be ready. And to wait for further instructions. But they were warriors of faith because of their trust in God. They were able to take the offensive. They realized they were carrying the sword of the Lord in their hearts and hands. Praise God. And chapter 7 and verse 8 says, they took only their own provision. They left the bag and baggage behind. And of course, faith would say, well, is God going to provide? Well, beloved, yes, He did. But as we look at this remnant, this 300, we see that they were soldiers of vision. They were able to take God's desires, and they were able to implement God's purposes that can only be seen in the realm of faith. Beloved, that's God speaking to your, He's speaking to hearts right now. There are dreams, visions that God has put in your heart. And these soldiers of vision saw what God wanted to do. I mean, come on, 300 men with trumpets and a pitcher, and they're facing a horde of the enemy camp. Yes, they were on higher ground. They were surrounding them. But I'm telling you, that had to take faith and courage to do that. Not only that, they were willing to translate that vision into action into the natural realm. They did what Gideon told them to do. They waited for his timing. They had lapped water like a dog. This indicates they were spiritually mature and they were discerning. In other words, to take that physical stance, you know, if, you know, it was most convenient, you just, you know, bend on your knee and then put your mouth to the water and drink. That's the fastest way to go about it. However, you would be kind of compromised if you did that. And those who just knelt down and brought the water to their mouth via their hand, that indicated they were very aware of their role as soldiers and the divine commission in their life. They weren't going to put themselves in a compromising position where they couldn't see around them even for a moment, but they were willing to be alert. And so now what do we see in this eighth chapter following, and if you like, you might want to take the time to read it all yourself. I don't want to take time to read that entire chapter. I'll just try to summarize the highlights. But basically, verse by verse, Ephraim got very upset, and they were saying, you know, why didn't you? They chided with him sharply, and basically, because Ephraim had responded in verse 3 of that chapter 8, Gideon responds, well, God had delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and what was I able to do in comparison of you? So it says, then their anger was abated toward him when he said that. So what do we see? Gideon didn't stop there. Even though there had been a tremendous slaughter of the enemy camp, there were still 15,000. And they weren't content to let them go. Gideon came to Jordan, passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. They were faint, yet pursuing them. Now, again, I'm going to take time to read, but he stops at two cities, the men of Succoth and the men of Penuel. He basically asks, because they were really faint, they were hungry, they needed food. He said in verse 5, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And of course, they responded in a very negative way. They said, you know, they're not in your hands. We're not going to help you. Likewise, did the same thing to Penuel. They refused him. And he says, when I come again in peace, I'll break down this tower. And in verse 10, it says, now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000, all that were left of the hosts of the children of East, for there had fallen 120,000 men that drew the sword. Well, I'm going to pick up tomorrow on this point, and we're going to see further lessons that God can show us in this account of Gideon. But for now, I must bring this broadcast to a close. And I just want to encourage you, if you have been stirred by this message, if you feel God is asking something of you that you don't feel quite up to, well, beloved, God is in the encouraging business. And I know if you would just take the time, if you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, note down our contact information. And when I receive your letter, your email, I will pray personally for you. And whatever I send back, as I've shared, oh, very rarely now, it seems, but people testify constantly what a blessing the letters are. So the announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,